It's not that I don't have enough, it's just that I often think and I act like I don't have enough. Enough money, enough time, enough stuff. Even more than that, I live in a culture which continually tells me I don't have enough. You turn on the TV, see the television commercials, radio, billboards, the internet, they all tell me that I'm insufficient, I'm incomplete, I'm not quite right on my own. They also promise me that if I buy that new toothpaste, if I buy that new computer, if I buy that new car, everything will be right. I'll be complete. Our culture equates consumption, buying things, with satisfaction. Possessions mean happiness. Material wealth means a good life. Here's my problem. All too often, I believe it. Don't get me wrong, I know it's not true. With that, I know it's a downright lie. I know because the Bible describes this as greed. And there are also many studies which show that the national happiness, where the United States is the wealthiest nation in the world, is not one of the happiest nations in the world. Further, I know in my own life that I have a lot more money, I have a lot more stuff than I did 10 years ago. I'm not any happier now than I was 10 years ago. And don't misunderstand me, I'm a very happy person. I'm just not any happier now than I was a decade ago. So I know as a rule, money doesn't make a person any happier. Yet, deep down, I'm still tempted to believe that that wonderful project I've seen on TV will make my life more meaningful. Or by having more money in the bank, I'm going to be more successful. In the text that we have before us this morning, we see Jesus responding to a man who's caught up in the same thought process. We read starting Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, don't point at me as a judge or an arbiter between you." Okay, picture this in your mind. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Mike thousands, of several thousand people there. In the verses before our text, we see that he's been teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this, is like that. Basically, laying down the concept of what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God. Suddenly, someone in the back of the crowd calls out and interrupts Jesus with a request. Not really a request, it's an insistence that Jesus straighten out this man's legal affairs. It was out of place. It had nothing to do with what Jesus was saying. Obviously, he wasn't paying attention to Jesus' sermon. The man who called out sounds like he may be a younger brother who felt like he was not getting his fair share of the inheritance. As you know, inheritance in Israel was set up to keep land in the family. God wanted to make sure that when the father died, the land would not be split up into other tribes or other individuals. So it was set up that when the father died, the firstborn son would receive double the inheritance of the other children. And then he would serve as the patriarch of the family, continuing on where his father had been. The younger brothers would continue farming the land under the watchful eye and the guidance of the older brother. The younger brother obviously thinks this is not fair. He decides to publicly, publicly embarrass his older brother. So Jesus uses this as a teachable moment. The man's desire is obviously for possessions. So much so that he demands the Son of God take care of it. "My brother, hold it to me. you can just imagine the thought process that's going through his mind. There's a lot of anger here, there's a lot of resentment. Was his desire for justice wrong? No. Just like it's not wrong for a Christian who wants to go to court to settle a legal issue, there's nothing wrong with that. God is the God of justice. But the motivation here is more than a call for justice. This man is consumed with his inheritance, with his desire for money, for the inheritance. He interrupts an honored speaker to make a point publicly instead of speaking to Jesus privately. Something else is going on in his heart. And Jesus labeled it covetousness or greed, and then uses this as a teachable moment for the rest of the crowd. What's the warning against the dangers of covetousness, of greed? And Jesus said to them, to the crowd, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no faith to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God.'" As I was working in the sermon, I was thinking of the Beatles song, "Can't Buy Me Love." Remember? Kind of a neat song. A few people, hearing the people shake their heads, well, "Can't Buy Me Love." I must have heard it on the radio or something and couldn't get it out of my mind. All the money on earth will not be able to buy us God's love. All the money on earth will not buy us heaven once we die. Therefore, we dare not make money or any earthly thing a priority over God in our lives. And that's what scares me about this parable, about a rich fool. I identify a little bit too closely with this rich guy. After all, he's not a cheat. He's not a thief. He's really not even greedy. He's just worked very, very hard, and he's made a lot of money. That's something we all want, right? His mistake, in the end, doesn't have to do with his wealth. Rather, he goes astray by believing that his wealth can secure his future. His wealth can make him independent. With his wealth, he won't have any needs. He won't need help from others. He won't need help from God. And I catch myself dreaming that too. Oh, I just had to look more in the bank. If the mortgage was paid off, then I had more money in my retirement fund. Or fill in the blank for yourself. If I just had this, everything would be fine. The allure of money is that it creates an illusion of independence. We put our trust in it to take care of our future, rather than putting our trust in God's promise to never leave or forsake us. Therefore, the thought I want to leave with you today is you are to trust in the Lord's care for you. At the time when investments in the stock market are worth billions less than they were just a few months ago, when the cost of our groceries, gas for our cars are much more than they were a few years ago, when so many people are out of work, and we may even be scared of our own jobs, remember the Lord's promise given by the writer to the Hebrews. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the verses before our text, Jesus gives the assurance, the same assurance we heard the choir sing of before the right at the beginning of the service. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus showed how valuable we are to man when he died on the cross for our sins. Think about it. Despite our sin, despite the way that people treat him, take it for granted. Jesus feels good and took upon himself the pain and suffering of death so that we would not suffer eternal hell. As the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how would he not also with him really give us all things? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encouraged his listeners, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And what should you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? To the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Pay attention to this. This is not a command, it's a promise. When you make God a priority in your life, he will provide for your every need. That's God making that promise. It's not like a parent telling a kid that has an ollie, oh, he'll get better, just kind of fight them down, so you don't cry anymore. God is making the promise that everything's going to be okay. He will take care of you. Wherever your need is, wherever your concern is, put your trust in God to take care of it. Do not let the advertisements of the world trick you into thinking that you need all the things of this world to be truly secure. The Lord your God is with you, and he will never leave or forsake you. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds strong in the true faith.